Don't wait. Save smarter with a 5.10% annual percentage yield 13-month certificate from Royal Credit Union. Royal's 5.10% 13-month certificate has no minimum opening balance and a locked-in rate for a guaranteed return on your investment. Open a 5.10% 13-month certificate at any Royal office or online at rcu.org/certificate510. Early withdrawal penalties could reduce earnings and principal. APY accurate as of 3/1/24. Insured by NCUA.
Hello, offseason. Your Minnesota Wild are done, but playoffs are in full swing. Kirsten and I take a look at our preseason predictions just to find out exactly how good we did. Plus, we dive into what the Wild need to do in order to not get absolutely dummied in the playoffs next year and what their offseason should look like. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, brought to you by SodaStick, Talk North, Grain Belt, Livia, and Royal Credit Union. This is Season 5, Episode 225. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition. Like chanting, "Let's play hockey," prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up, Bar Down Beauties, episode 225. I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Carson Kroll, in-arena host for your Minnesota Wild, which now switches gears to the PWHL because, wonk, 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 the Minnesota Wild season is done. Finito. It's been arguably over for the past couple months, but officially came to a close last Thursday on a loss at home to the Seattle Kraken. Wild had locker room cleanup where we spoke with a bunch of players, talked with Bill Guerin, said our farewells, said have a good summer. It feels very much, you know, I think next year, Kirsten, I'm going to bring like a book and it's going to be like a yearbook signing because that's what it feels like, right? Like I want somebody to be like, hawk us, have a kick-ass summer, you know?
No one ever wrote that in my yearbook. That was not a thing.
That was always our thing. Or like, stay cool.
It was, hope to hang out lots this summer. I'm really glad we got really close.
Yeah. Here's my number.
Call
me. It was
a different variation of that each time my yearbook was signed.
It is. It's just the vibe that we got. Not a whole lot learned at the locker room cleanout day. You know, Bill Guerin, I tried to bait him. I did a couple of my questions, but he's wise to me, that Billy G. I had specifically said, you know, how do you assess guys like Marcus Johansson and Freddie Gaudreau in the seasons that they had? And, you know, what does their future role with the Minnesota Wild look like? And Bill Guerin immediately looked me dead in the eyes and he said, well, they're under contract, so their future is with the Minnesota Wild. So there was that.
That is a man who has been through extensive media training.
I like wanted him to just be at least a little honest. I mean, he was honest in the sense he had mentioned how disappointed he was with some of the players, how they had some very down years. And yes, I am human. I understand that. I think in regard, you know, Marcus Johansson, you're looking at $2 million. He's a UFA in 25-26, so he still is under contract for another year. But it's funny because in Billy saying, you know, yes, these guys are under contract. Yes, they're with the team. He also, you know, had made side mentions of, we'll look at trades. We'll look at free agency. We'll look at this. Because, yes, the cap is expected to go up, but only by, like, $3 or $4 million. And you're not losing a heck of a whole lot. Jake Lucchini is a UFA. He's at $775,000. Mason Shaw is an RFA this offseason, $775,000. Then you've got Goligoski. That's $2 million. He's probably going to be gone. Declan Chisholm, $775,000. He's an RFA. And Dakota Mermis is probably out of here, too. But, again, that's only $775,000. So the Wilds still don't have a heck of a whole lot to play with without making some moves. Do you think Bill Guerin, in fact, will approach players and say, hey, are you willing to waive the no moves? Are you willing to waive the no trades? I mean, I go 50-50 on it because I feel like sometimes he's so in bed with them and he's like, doesn't want to do that because there's a reason these guys have those in place. But the other part of me is like, he still is a very, we want to win. We want to win. He's not trying to put it off another year. He wants to be competitive next year, and his plan is to make the playoffs next year. Well, if you want to do that, you got to do something this offseason.
I would like for him to do that, but I don't know if that's something that'll actually happen. Also, I'm just going to say it. I hesitate asking or trying to get rid of Marcus Johansson because it's a contract year. We saw how well he played the last time he was in a contract year.
That's true. He seems to do well when he knows he needs an extension. And he's skilled, you guys. I can't stress that enough. Like, for me, it's the lack of engagement sometimes. Like, I see the skill, and he could be a top six forward if he was putting that effort forth every night. And I don't say that lightly, because I do. I think it's kind of a rude thing to suggest somebody's not working hard, but that's kind of what I see. I do have to laugh because I say what I see from up top, because Jared Spurgeon gave us a little poke as media members. He's like, you know, the game looks a lot simpler when you're watching from up top. And I was like, oh, Jared, was that a little, and he did it with his kind of smile and his sweetness. And he didn't mean it like rudely, but it was probably a fair reminder. He's like, because I know that's not what's happening on the ice. Update on him and Marcus Foligno, both good to go. Spurge has been skating for about the past month, so should be no holdups within his rehabbing. Marcus Foligno said he is just kind of walking as of right now, still in a little bit of pain, but it's the same surgery he had last year on the right groin. This year now it's on the left, so he's not worried about missing any time or really missing any training camp. The only other injury update that came out, Kirsten, Brock Faber, the king, the legend, playing with some broken ribs for about the past 2 months.
He's so badass.
So badass. Right?
That's one tough kid. Never complained. Maybe he complained. I would complain a lot.
Yeah.
I was in that situation, but I had no inkling.
I mean, I don't.
That was what he was dealing with.
He never missed, if I recall correctly, in that time span. He never missed practice or was never questionable. Like, there was never a time that we would have sensed anything, right? That it was like, oh, where's Brock? He was always available to media, so treatment certainly wasn't taking that long. And yeah, credit to him. It was funny, that whole exchange in the locker cleanout. So the reason it came up is because I had asked Brock about world championships. Obviously, Bill Guerin is the general manager for that. John Hines named coach. Bill Guerin general manager of the Four Nations tournament that comes up, as well as the Olympic team in a couple years. And so guys that obviously go to world championships get a leg up in some of those selections. And Brock is a Mr. USA guy anyway. And it was kind of surprising. He was like, I talked to Billy and, you know, we decided I needed to heal up. Like, okay. And none of us really pressed for what it was. Like, it didn't sound serious. You know, Brock did his Brock thing and kind of glazed over it. And then Bill Guerin comes in and we ask Bill, you know, oh, Brock had mentioned he wasn't going to go to world championships because he's got some injury. What's kind of going on there? And he goes, man, that kid's got a big mouth. And we're like, well, what is it? He's like, well, actually, it was some broken ribs. Like, it wasn't just like a little bruised hammy or anything like that. It's like, oh,
that's not minor.
No, exactly. So I had a good chuckle at that. Like, you know, Brock, maybe you'll get a little speaking to, like, hey, you don't have to tell them everything. But we appreciate that he did the upfront honesty. I think it's probably because we would have pressed him more if he just said, no, I'm not going to go. We would have been like, well, why? This is kind of your thing, your bag, your kind of Team USA guy.
Ah, Brock.
Good old Brock.
He deserves a little bit of a break.
John Hines said
that man worked hard this year. Do you know what'll be a great break? Going to the NHL Awards.
Going to the NHL Awards. Hines said he'd take Brock with one rib. But no, yeah, speaking of, we're going to go to the NHL Awards, guys. We're thinking about it. We're mulling on it. We could start a GoFundMe if you guys think that we could go. We would make some excellent content. The awards being held in Vegas. I think it correlates with the draft, too. Is that right?
Yeah, it does. So it's right before the draft.
We double down. We'll double down.
It just makes sense.
You have a good relationship with Macklin Celebrini. I've got a decent...
They're on a first name basis.
I've got a decent one with Ziv. So, you know, there's that connection, obviously, from the Frozen Four here. So, yeah, I think we should do it. Fred doesn't know this, but we're going to price it out. We'll bring it to the money man. And if you guys want to make a donation to our awards, we'll put some money on the Wild. Maybe we'll put some money on the Wild making the playoffs next year.
Ooh, I think it'll happen. There'll be a wild card team.
You know, it's interesting that a lot of the guys, you know, obviously there's disappointment, but it is funny because I know there's been so much hype made about Marc-Andre Fleury having never missed the playoffs in his entire career, which is incredibly impressive. But a lot of those guys have never had that. Matt Zuccarello, I think it's just his second time in his career. You know, Marcus Foligno, I think he said he missed it once when he was obviously playing in Buffalo. Brock Faber's kind of always been a postseason type of guy. Kirill Kaprizov
has never missed the
playoffs. He's never missed the NHL playoffs. He said he missed the postseason once in the KHL. Yeah, I mean, even just going back to some of those things, it's not a fun feeling. I did see a lot of the Wild players taking in some Timberwolves postseason action on Saturday. Jonas Brodin, your boy, double fisting like a true off-season gentleman.
What a champ.
What a hint.
Honestly, like, just even more respect for that. Like, somebody who prefers to just have another drink ready to go on hand, not having to wait in the lines. Just, yeah.
You got to do that.
I respect
especially
that.
When it's busy. I mean, you're right. You don't want to be bogged down. It is funny because I always wonder this. Like, in Minnesota, it's probably different. And we talked about this when it went to the All-Star game because, like, you put the All-Star game in Toronto and those guys know what hockey players look like, right? You put it in Tampa, you're probably not running into that. I do wonder, you know, because the basketball and hockey fan bases pretty much separate themselves, if those guys were recognized. Like, I know we saw the picture from Zacho and Max on KFAM, but I wonder if others recognize them. Like, I think those are three fairly recognizable players, but again, I'm super biased because I see their faces like every day.
Agreed, but also I don't know, because it seemed like it was just media members.
Yeah, like I
didn't see if Russo and Halvey never tweeted about it, I never would have known.
No, exactly.
I didn't see or hear anything else about it.
I have to wonder, like, I think there's only a few players that I could walk by, and that's because I haven't really gotten their fate. Like, Declan Chisholm, there are some times where, yep, I could walk by and be like, I probably wouldn't pick him out. Lucchini, I don't know that I would necessarily, even though he was on the pod. I think it would take, you know, a second glance.
Oh, if he had that long hair, I'd be able to recognize him.
What a look. What a vibe. But yeah, I don't know. But then the same could go for, honest to God, I think Karl Anthony Towns might be the only basketball player I'd pick out of a crowd, right?
Anthony Edwards, you wouldn't?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I would have to, like,
Rudy
take
Gobert?
Maybe because of his height, Rudy? But I don't know.
Nas Reed?
Maybe Nas because of his hair?
Ugh.
I know. That's just me being honest. That's just me being... Football? Probably pretty similar. Are you ready for the NFL football draft?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I do need to get my eyes are a little puffy. Mm. Allergy season is really rampaging through my home right now.
Yeah.
And I need a little more sleep. And then I'll be ready for the draft.
I'm curious to see what they'll do. I will be covering the draft with Score North on Thursday at the Fillmore. Super pumped about that. So we'll switch gears quickly into football just for that day. Don't forget, we've got a live show coming up on Wednesday as well. Kirsten, I do want to address what I had posted this weekend. I went back, I found our preseason predictions, which, you know what, weren't completely unhinged, but I want to see if you would have picked these prior to the playoffs. So for your preseason predictions, which we made in October, you said the Maple Leafs would make the Atlantic, or would win the Atlantic. The Carolina Hurricanes would win the Metro. The Stars would win the Central, and the Kings would win the Pacific.
I'm not embarrassed by any of them.
I wouldn't be. I think they're good.
It was fair.
Yeah, you know, I think...
they're all playoff teams.
They are all playoff teams. That's true. I the only one I look at, because we both picked LA, right? We both picked them. Are you disappointed in what happened, or where do you think things went wrong? There were certainly some injuries that didn't help. Cam Talbot, and we saw this with the Minnesota, one of their final games, doesn't look great. Like, he has those glimpses, and this goes back to 2 years ago, where I will remind you, when everybody was on me for not saying, oh, Cam deserves playoffs, Cam deserves this, wins are not goalie stats. His wins were what everybody was focused on. They're like, oh, but he's winning. I'm like, no, the team is winning. Cam happens to be in net. He wasn't that good of a goalie then, still not that good of a goalie now. I just need to get that. Wins are not goalie stats. It's like plus minus matters, and wins are not goalie stats.
Do you feel better?
A little bit. I still go back. Like, people were very upset at me for that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. And I'm like, no, he doesn't deserve this. He's not good enough.
I remember that. Oh, I got to sneeze. Hold on. I'm going to mute myself and hopefully it'll happen.
We'll see.
It didn't happen. It passed.
Well, that'll That'll also happen. But no, I mean, I don't know. Like, LA, I think they're a slight disappointment for me.
I guess I don't care enough for them to be a disappointment.
I think it's because I didn't want to put my, like, stock in them. And they made me do it anyway. And, you know, it's fine. It's fine. They barely made
the
Pacific.
I'm indifferent.
I never saw Vancouver winning the Pacific. So, to recap, the Florida Panthers won your Atlantic Division. Toronto did finish third with Boston right in the middle. The Rangers won it in the Metro. Carolina finished second. The Islanders snuck in and finished third. And then in the Central, you got the Stars taking number one, which both you and I were correct on. The Jets number two and Colorado number three. And Pacific, Vancouver wins. Edmonton second. The Kings third.
This season just feels like a fever dream.
It was
kind
of an insane, chaotic season, right? Like, the fact that the Washington Capitals are right now playing in the playoffs is still just kind of mind-boggling to me. Like, no, it's just weird. It's just super weird.
I would have wanted to see Torts and
Philly, and that's the thing. Like, him pulling the goalie, he had to do it, but he also didn't have to do it because he could have. He had the knowledge, but he ruined Detroit's chance to get in by losing. So it was kind of like a very Torts thing to do as well.
Honestly, yeah. I love it.
I also picked, we have the same actually, Toronto to win the Atlantic, Central, Dallas. I did pick the Rangers for the Metro and LA for the Pacific. Now, our Stanley Cup predictions, which I have actually the Dallas Stars admin came at me a little bit and appreciated it. I'm sorry.
Disgusting.
I agree, but they're just so freaking good, man. Like, they're so good. Plus Jake Oettinger. We got to cheer for the little otter. I said that the Stars would defeat the Rangers. Again, these are our preseason predictions, not priorly made to the playoffs. And Kirsten said the Hurricanes would defeat the Stars. Do you stand pat in that, or are there other teams that you're looking at and you're like, nope, I want to kind of switch? We're only one game in to these playoffs. I'm okay if we want to switch.
I'm thinking. So just like,
yeah, let's go through. Oh, just you're going to think it out silently.
Yeah, because I'm processing. The only reason I'm hesitant on Carolina is because, in the words of Taylor Swift, I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. How many times have we seen the Carolina Hurricanes have a great season? And I don't know, I guess maybe I use the term great season loosely, but like, be pinned as a contender, be pinned as a cup favorite. They make it to the postseason, and it just doesn't happen for them. So I think that's my hesitation. I'm like, are we going to see history repeat itself, or is this the year Carolina finally gets over the hump?
Svechnikov is pretty good. I don't know. I think that's probably why I stayed away from Carolina like I did this year, because, they've kind of burned you the past couple of years where it's like, they should be this. I love Rod the Bod. And I like what he does with that squad. Hey, that's like a three rhyming words. There's a whole, that's one going to be one of my poems.
I love
Rod
when
the Bod and
Rod
his
Bod. That
Hurricane squad.
Fit.
God, I like that. That's an album cover right there. That's what they need to do.
Yes. I don't know. I think Rod maybe has fire under his belt after his son won the national championship last year. Set the tone. They need to have
all
a
right,
winning
so if it's not Carolina,
home.
If you're deviating from the preseason prediction, who's your Stanley Cup champ?
If it's not Carolina.
Is it still in the East, or you want to lean toward West?
I'm leaning West, but I still don't think it's going to be Dallas. After seeing Winnipeg just kind of blow, and they didn't blow out Colorado, but seeing how Winnipeg came out, and that was a high scoring game for a playoff game, that surprised me. I'm skeptical about Colorado after that first game. Maybe I'm just jumping it there. I'm not good at this right now.
I don't know why.
I'm hesitant about Dallas too.
Nah,
I'm going back out east. Right? New York Rangers,
it's
baby.
It's funny because I thought I picked the Rangers. I was so convinced because I've been so high on the Rangers all year. Even last year, I loved them. I just love Igor Shesterkin. I think he's fantastic. I think the Rangers have a lot of good pieces. I love Coach Lavi. I was shocked
I was just about to say, I love.
I frankly was
Peter
shocked
Laviolette.
To find out that I, in fact, picked the Dallas Stars. But again, and this is what the Dallas Stars tweeted at me. They said, "This one's going to make people mad, Jesse. Not us, but people, because a lot of Minnesota fans." But I think I'm still riding with them. I think it's the Dallas Stars, and I think they defeat the New York Rangers. Now, we're going to take a quick break because I want to dive into what we have seen thus far in the playoffs and then circle it on back with what the Wild need to do in order to be anywhere near the competition that we're seeing in the playoffs. So stay tuned. But right now, I'm riding with the Stars as my prediction. I'm sorry. They're good.
For those not watching, I just gave Jesse a throw up.
Yeah,
face.
The live emoji. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago, and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. What's up? We're back. It is Stanley Cup playoff time. We were treated to some doozies this weekend. A couple of the games got underway. You're still waiting for the Dallas-Vegas series to get going. That happens tonight, Monday night. We're recording this. Edmonton-LA as well. The rest of them have been going. So, Kirsten, in case people have forgotten, these are the matchups. So, in addition to Dallas and Vegas, you've got Winnipeg and Colorado. Winnipeg holds a 1-0 series lead. You've got Vancouver and Nashville. Vancouver up 1-0 on the Preds. Then over in the East, we've got Florida and Tampa Bay. Florida holding that series edge. Boston and Toronto. Boston certainly went in and said, hey, Toronto, F you again. They hold the series lead. Rangers and Washington. New York pretty handily defeated Washington. And then Carolina and the Islanders. Carolina up in that series as well. Again, these are all in their infancy. Which series are you most excited about? Pick one from the East and one from the West. And then if there's one, like, overall.
Well, one, I'm here for the plot. I'm here for the drama. Boston and Toronto.
So good.
I'm here for the first round exit from Toronto.
It's going to be a
I'm
sweep,
a hater.
Man.
At the end of the day, I'm a hater. So
yeah.
That, I'm just, again, I'm here for the drama. And I'm here to see the Toronto Maple Leafs implode if that does, in fact, happen, especially just after Austin Matthews doing ungodly things this season. Sorry, not really sorry. Another one that, well, right now I'm very intrigued by Winnipeg, Colorado, just because I did not expect game one to go the way that it did. So that one, but also Vancouver, Nashville. I'm all eyes
yeah,
on that.
I get that. Toronto and Boston, you're right. It's just kind of hilarious to me. Like, I love how Toronto, they've met 16 times in the playoffs, but the Leafs have not beaten Boston in the playoffs since 1959. And they do have a tied score of 8-8. I just feel the way Boston came out, it was funny because I think Toronto, there's the joke that they're soft, right? And we've seen this from, like, Ryan Reeves. Like, yes, you have Ryan Reeves, and yes, you have Max Domi. But you saw that those guys didn't step up in certain cases. Similarly, Ryan Reeves didn't do that last year in the playoffs for Minnesota either. So Revo, I would never, ever dare call him soft. But I just have some questions about that. He didn't show up again. So then I felt like they came out in game one against Boston trying to be Mr. Tough Guy and remind people that they're not, in fact, soft. Which then in turn bit them because you allow Boston to go on the power play and they notch 2 power play goals and go on to win 4-0. I think Boston now is especially in Toronto's head as well. So that's a big series. I really enjoy that series for sure. I think in the West, you had alluded to it in the first half, though goal scoring in Colorado and Winnipeg was absolutely absolutely incredible. Like, I need more of that. I said it last week, and I know you guys didn't like it, but I do love that Winnipeg's in the playoffs. Like, you saw the whiteout in Winnipeg. That looked fun. Like, the crowd's into it. Like, I don't know. And then if you're scoring, I feel bad for Colorado. You score 5-6 goals on Connor Hellebuck, who's probably going to win the Vezina this year, and you still don't win. Like, that's got to be frustrating as hell. So I think that series, I need 7 games of that. I think that goes to 7, but I'm there for all of the offensive fun that that could be. I don't see that being the norm, because again, it's 2 pretty decent goaltenders. Colorado's been up and down anyway on their goaltender. Georgiev certainly didn't look great last night, but yeah, I think maybe that might be my favorite series. But again, maybe that's the one I paid closest attention to as well.
Yeah.
I think Dallas and Vegas could be really good too.
I need Vegas to win.
No.
And we all know how I feel about Vegas. Or maybe we don't.
I don't know if we do.
Again, I'm a hater. I'm a hater, so I'm bitter that they are very early on. Honestly, I'm still mad that their first year as a franchise, they went to the cup final. Honestly, that's what it is. That's why I hate Vegas. It's not fair. They didn't pay their dues. They're just good right off the bat. So that's why. Because, again, I'm a hater.
Well, and they figured out how to maneuver around cap restrictions and LTIRs and stuff like that 2 years in a row.
I just hate that we don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Other people could just go for it, man.
That's why at the GM meeting, they didn't change it, because it might benefit their team one day.
And Mark Stone really was very injured, and it's just perfect that he comes back. Again,
can't
you
play game 82, but you can play game 1 of the playoffs.
Every time. Every time. But you're right. It would be nice if the Wild could figure that out. What else? You look at these teams, and I think Minnesota would get just absolutely dummied by any one of them. I don't see a situation where they're victorious against anybody in the West in this first round. You might get a good series out of Nashville and LA, maybe, right? Like, I could see that being a possibility. But is there anybody in here that you would feel confident Minnesota going up against? And what do you think is the one key, the 1 to 3 keys that Minnesota, or pieces that Minnesota's missing in order to be even not laughed out of that playoff grouping?
I don't see them winning against any of these teams.
No.
Number one key component, and I remember I harped on this at the start of the season, namely with defensemen, size.
Mm-hmm.
Our team is small. We need to get bigger. Like, we need bigger men. Otherwise, you get thrown around. That's honestly, that's my biggest number one. You need size, and we don't have it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because Ryan Hartman said that in the cleanout, too. It was probably my favorite quote. He goes, you know, in years past, I would have said that, you know, teams wouldn't want to play against us, and I wouldn't say that this year. And I thought that was so telling and so honest and so true, right? Like, there was just not that grit first mentality. As much as Bill Guerin wanted to say that there was, and as much as John Hines wanted there to be, it wasn't. I think the biggest thing for me, size is certainly something that's going to need to be addressed before next year for sure, but I think you need more scoring. Like, you need better scores. You can't rely on one line. It's not a one line situation come the playoffs. You need all 4 lines rolling without question. And that's just it. If it's not Marcus Johansson and Freddie Gaudreau, then you need to find other people that can be those guys. It shouldn't be one line or nothing. And I think that was the most frustrating thing to me. That, and you need better defensemen too. I'm sorry, when you're looking at Dakota Mermis and John Merrill and Alex Goligoski as like to round out your pairs, there's a problem there.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately,
it was rough.
Yeah. Like, you just need there's a step above somewhere out there. And obviously, you're not going to have a perfect team. Dallas has a pretty close to perfect team, though.
Stop.
I'm sorry. That's why I whispered it.
There was something else I was going to say. And now I'm doing mental gymnastics right now. Mm. Like, I'm back flipping through my mind, trying to figure out where I missed what I was going to say.
Was it about the Wild?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it about?
Oh, yes. Okay. Mm. Landed. Stuck the landing.
It's a 10. It's a 10.
I don't know where all of these gymnastics references are coming from, probably because I was reading about the LSU winning the national championship.
Too. Yeah.
So I think, honestly, that's where it's like all like in my head right now. Next time we make the playoffs, can we please, please, pretty, please not pick a slogan where other teams' social media are going to bully the crap out of us? Like, can we not make ourselves an easy target, please?
I mean, you know what? Here's an idea. You take it and you flip it. You do something like, you know, everybody calls the Wild the Mild. Like, why don't you just say that's what you are? Like, mild enough for your mom or something. I don't know.
No.
Oh, come on. That's kind of funny. Out. That's kind of funny.
That would never happen.
I don't. Well, you know, because there's those. Well, your mom does this. Or like mild enough for your face. I don't know. You take all of the crap that people toss toward Minnesota and you shove it right back.
1,000%. I love that. I do that in my personal
exactly.
life.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I don't know what it needs. A little za,
a little spice. Yeah, I would agree with that. I didn't love the grit first. I know a lot of people absolutely despised it because it was kind of an easy target, and then it doesn't help when the performance on the ice isn't exactly what your slogan is suggesting it should be. But
and the year before, it's all about winning, and we didn't win.
Yeah, that one too. Oh, yeah, that's not great.
The last two go-arounds were very easy targets on our backs.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's kind of funny? I think Minnesota would have gotten either Vancouver or Dallas, it looks like, right? Because I think those were the two wild cards. Who would you have rather had?
Vancouver.
I think so, too. But I'm kind of here for the dramatics of Dallas. That'd be kind of fun.
No.
It's kind of fun. I love it.
Not until we're better than Dallas. Then I'm here for it.
So 5 years. Here's the other thing about Dallas. I got a heart for Joe Pavelski. That's a man that deserves a Stanley Cup. Now, I understand that coming with that, Ryan Suter also gets a Stanley Cup, which I know a lot of people would absolutely have a meltdown for. But I don't know. Joe Pavelski... He's a good kid. He deserves one. They just have so many good players. Miro Heiskanen. God, they're good.
They can go to another team that's Tyler not Sagan. Named Dallas.
Shout out to everybody who engaged in our North Stars, Dallas Stars conversation, though. That was a lot of fun. Like, some really good points. You know, I continued that conversation in the press box on Thursday with my dear friend Judd, because he was a huge North Stars guy, right? Followed everything. And I had asked him, like, do you think the Cup would have come here? Like, do you think that would have been the case, and that 99 team would have been, in fact, the team that was here? And he doesn't think so, because management's obviously different, right? And the way that they had handled the North Stars, it probably wasn't going to be the same. It was similar to a lot of Minnesota sports management, where you're not really putting a heck of a whole lot out there to get what you need to reap the benefits. But yeah, that was kind of a fun conversation. And I found out Mike Condano played 2 years here before getting traded. So that's why it's like, he's always been a star, so that's why they adore him, you know?
Then why do we have all of his stuff in our hockey lodge?
Because he was the first-round pick for them.
Sweatshirts and T-shirts.
I don't know. I don't, you know, put a Kirill Kaprizov statue out in front.
Once he re-signs a contract.
That's a sad thing. There isn't a first-round pick, really, that people are exceptionally proud of here in Minnesota yet. Jewel, maybe?
I would. Jewel. I love him.
Yeah.
Retire his number.
Retire his number?
I don't like jersey retirements. I don't like number retirements.
At all?
No. No.
Why?
I just don't.
I think
I don't.
Here's my thing. I think if your number is going to be retired, we talked about this, I believe, with Miko, right? If your number is getting retired, you need to be a Hall of Famer. And I'm sorry, Miko Koivu is not. So, like, I don't mind them, because there are players that certainly deserve it, right? Like, I think Boston has a bunch of those guys that have come through. I don't think there has been somebody in Minnesota yet that has come through, right? And I think I get, like, retiring the jersey number is, you know, well, that's special to our franchise, and Miko was very special to this franchise. But then do like a Ring of Honor thing, like the Vikings do.
I was just about to say, do not do jersey number retirements. Yeah. Do a Ring of Honor.
Like, I think jersey retirements are on par with Hall of Fame status, and that's where that should be reserved. So, like, 97 gets retired by Edmonton? Sure, that makes sense. Does it get retired in Minnesota? I don't know. Again, I can't think of a number that should be retired.
Fleury, 29. It just won't be here.
I was going to say. Well, and that's...
Pittsburgh has dibs.
This is probably a stupid question, but I don't know the answer to it, and I'll have to Google it here. Can you have multiple numbers retired? Like, Chris Chelios, you know what I mean? Like, does he have it in... Would he have it in Chicago and Detroit? Like, Chris Chelios is a guy that absolutely deserves to have his number retired, but, like, he played around, right? And, like... So, Fleury, you know what? Let's find out if there's an answer to this.
I don't know. I feel like, in a way, it's kind of distasteful for multiple organizations. Like, there's clearly an edge for an organization who had the player.
All right, I have the answer.
You know?
It can be done. 9 players have had their number retired by 2 different NHL teams. Bobby Hull is Blackhawks, though he's original Jet. Gordie Howe by the Red Wings and the Hartford Whalers. Wayne Gretzky, Edmonton Oilers, and LA Kings. And obviously he has an entire league-wide retirement. Ray Bjork, Boston and Colorado. Mark Messier, Edmonton and Rangers. Patrick Waugh, Colorado and Montreal. Tim Horton, Sabres and Maple Leafs. Red Kelly, Red Wings and Maple Leafs. And Scott Niedermeyer, Anaheim Ducks and Jersey. So that makes sense. See, and that's just like that... Those all I jive with, you know what I mean? Like, because I do, I recognize how important Niedermeyer was to the Devils in their cup, and then Anaheim, same thing. Like, those all make a lot of sense. So it can be done.
Yeah, but also, too, when I think of those names, like, I think of a specific team.
Well, and I think it goes to, like, it's the era in which you grew up watching them. So for you, I bet Niedermeyer is Anaheim, right? Yeah. So for me, I remember... In New Jersey. I remember Anaheim too, but I think that's the difference. Is like, I think of Mark Messier for the Rangers, obviously. Shout out. But I know he was so impactful in Edmonton too. So I think there is that stipulation. Like, well, I see him as this. But when you're a player that does it both in for both organizations, I guess, right? Like it warrants that. So to our initial point, Marc-Andre will probably be just Pittsburgh, right?
He should only be just Pittsburgh.
I know. I know you were saying it jokingly, but I'm adding on to that.
Yeah.
Although I would find it hilarious if somebody retired a jersey, like did it before, like if Minnesota did it before Pittsburgh did, just to kind of like spite them.
I would be weird if Minnesota retired his number.
I know. I'm just saying, it'd be funny.
It would be really
weird.
It'd be
super funny. Or like you do it.
It'd be like Chicago being like, we're going to retire Fleury.
No,
we have more gravity. Minnesota's been more, from an outside perspective, Minnesota's been more meaningful to Fleury than his, 72 games in Chicago?
Or would it be like the Blue Jackets retiring Mikko before the Wild did? You know what I mean? Like, he went and played a season. Like, it'd be kind of funny.
Exactly.
Have a good chuckle.
I just don't like it. I don't like it. Just do a Ring of Honor.
I support the Ring of Honor as well. Let us know what you guys think. I would love to hear that conversation on jersey retirement. If there's anybody in the Wild organization that deserves that, if Ring of Honor is the way to go, what your stipulations are, all that good stuff. Like Brent Burns. How about Brent Burns? Where's he go? He gets retired in San Jose, right?
Jesse, I don't think you understand. I don't like this, period.
But they do it.
Want any jerseys retired.
Brent Burns is the one player that is a Hall of Famer that, like, if the Wild wanted to retire his jersey, they won't because they were the ones that said you can go, but that was their property once upon a time.
Do you know what would be great? A Ring of Honor. Throw the name up in there.
It would look really nice.
Like, thank you, everybody, for your contributions.
Yeah, this is true. That's all you need. Matt Dumba. Toss Dumbs up there. Nick Schultz. Bruno.
See, but okay. Like, for example, I love Matt Dumba. Is Matt Dumba going to be a Hall of Famer? Matt Dumba, exceptional for the community. All around great guy. We talk about that. I don't want to just throw like our fan favorites into this. Like, Hall of Famers.
You only want Hall of Famers in the Ring of Honor, too?
I mean, it doesn't need to be limited to Hall of Famers, but I'm talking like incredibly impactful on the ice legendary players.
I'd still put Dumbs there. technically, stats-wise, one of the best defensemen they had. And they drafted him, right? But I kind of see it. So you have, you have a higher threshold than just anybody.
I have a higher threshold.
Okay. But not to the status that I have for, like, the jersey retirement. Like, it doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but it has to be a very good player. See, I would look at, very hard at a lot of those, like, 2003, 2004 players, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Wes Walls. You put Wes up there?
I don't see, that's hard for me because I wasn't, like, keen focusing on everything wild when Wes played.
Right.
You know?
Interesting.
So I'd have to, like, go back and really look.
Yeah. I want to hear your guys' Ring of Honor. We're going to carry this conversation into Wednesday when we are at Carboni's in Lakeville, 7 p.m., our final live show of the season. Thanks to our friends at Greenbelt for allowing that to happen. Can't wait for some pizza, some Greenbelt specials. Going to be a fun, fun night. Just recapping the season, taking your questions, giving prizes away, and saying, hi, how are you? All of that stuff. So let us know, all in all, what you thought of the season. You guys are the best, as always. We might be taking a different approach this offseason, so stay tuned to our social channels for new episode releases. As of right now, coming to you every Tuesday, as always. Hopefully it's a quick and... No, I don't. That's a lie. I don't want it to be a quick offseason. I'm still in, like, yes, the offseason's here. Let's go. What's your top offseason plan, Kirsten?
Honestly, I just want to relax. I just want to chill. I have, like, this whole thing. I just, to be quite honest, I really didn't enjoy my summer last year. I felt like I was just, like, running around trying to figure everything out. So this year I'm really, like, just day by day, have fun, relax, be outside, be out on the lake, and go to concerts. Ooh. Hang out with friends, grill out. Like, it's the little things. I want to enjoy the little things every day and just learn how to not be so high strung heading into next year.
That's just a life goal in general, right?
Exactly.
I will be at the golf course. Shifts have started, so come get your beer for me at Loggers, but I will also be golfing, which is the main reason I'm out there swinging beers, is so I can swing the sticks every once in a while. And then paddleboarding. I've got two kids home with me all summer long, every day. So that relaxation is going to be at a premium, but looking forward to it. We're going to see. I'm sure I will be thrilled when school comes back into session. But yeah, we'll find out. And we've got golf tournaments to hit up, Kirsten.
Yep. Let me know the dates and put them on my calendar.
It's going to be good. If you guys want to invite us to your golf tourneys, let us know. We're pretty good. We at least bring the fun. We bring the energy. And we'll, shoot some content out there. That'll do it for this week's ep. As always, you guys are the best. Thank you to Talk North, Soda Stick, Grain Belt, Royal Credit Union, and Jim Beam. And, of course, our friends over at Livia. Have a great rest of your week. Go hockey.